Sa,
Okay.
dude.
Ba-da-da.
Sa.
All right. Saw.
Hi.
Hello, Tori.
Hey.
You are recovering from the plague.
Yes, I was listening to our last episode and I was like, I'm fine. I'm not bad. And then like a few days later I got COVID and I was like, wow, now I'm bad. I opened my mouth.
Now you're bad. Oh, goodness. Well.
But I am on the up. I tested negative and I'm
Woo.
feeling better, but I still feel kind of dumb. The COVID brain fog is so real.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if I'm slow on the podcast today, we're blaming COVID.
Of course. I'll just edit it to make it sound like all the the blank spaces when you're trying to think. I'll just cut them out
Thanks,
so
appreciate
it'll sound like you're quick and snappy.
it.
Like you always are.
Oh, shucks. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Job hunting.
Yep.
But other than that, I'm
It looked like you went to some cool places this weekend. This weekend with Kristen?
last
Last
weekend. Oh
weekend.
wait, no.
A weekend. A weekend ago.
I think it was on Friday. Yeah, so this past
What
weekend,
was that
yeah.
ice cream sandwich place? You know I'm a sucker for
Oh,
ice cream and cookies.
it's at Hermosa Beach. 'Cause we went there simply because hanging out with our friend Kristen, having good times. They were nice enough to buy my dinner.
Aw. That's what our employed friends do to
That's what,
help our
that
unemployed
is.
pals get through.
It really is. We went to this place called Tower 12 there, had the most amazing hamburger there.
Ooh.
And then beneath it is a place called the Baked Bear,
A baked
and you can
bear.
basically construct your own ice cream sandwich using cookies, brownies,
Oh, brownies
sticky
too?
cake. Yeah, you pick
Oh.
out what you want to make the sandwich out of, and then what ice cream goes in the
Oh my
sandwich, and then they can
God.
heat it up for you if you want.
Mouth is watering.
I did not get an ice cream sandwich because I had literally scarfed down an entire two patty burger and fries and knew an
Weak.
ice cream sandwich would be a step too far.
Weak is what you are.
But we had a nice time just walking around Hermosa Beach at night. Because you go out to the Hermosa Beach Pier at night and you look out, and it's just a void of darkness of the
Can
ocean.
you imagine being out to sea at night?
Oh, that's why I'm like, I don't think I could ever do a cruise.
Oh,
I
yeah.
would become so paranoid in the darkness. It wouldn't even be fun. Like night would fall and I'd be like, well, fuck this.
This is the end of me. This is how I
Yeah.
go.
It's terrible. The sea is terrifying, guys. Beware the ocean.
Now I want cookies and ice cream.
We'll go sometime. You'll make the trek to Hermosa
I
Beach.
haven't been to the beach in a hot minute, so it's about time.
It'd be something we could do.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's about time. What else? What else?
Not really. I
I
came
mean,
home from Canada.
yeah.
My place got
Yes.
fumigated. No more termites.
Huzzah!
Got COVID. Did a lot of sleeping. I think that's it. I think I was just about to leave for Canada before we recorded.
Yes, I wanted to know how Nova Scotia was.
Beautiful. Oh my God, I want to go back. I was in
Yeah.
Halifax and it was so pretty, just like water everywhere. There's still like gorgeous fall leaves, red and oranges, and the nicest people. And I didn't know how queer it was.
Really? Halifax,
It
yeah.
has a small town feel, which like immediately makes me think like conservative, kind of like right-sided, but it is so queer
Yeah.
everywhere you go. Maybe it's because I was also hanging out with queer people, but it was like rainbow flags everywhere in every window, rainbow crosswalks, and like all over town, not just in like the, I guess, gay neighborhoods like I would expect in like LA or San
Yeah.
Francisco. Super beautiful. I want to go back and actually explore more of like Nova Scotia and not just Halifax. I've heard there's a lot of other like pretty lakes to go swimming in when it's warm, and they have like a lot of lighthouses you can go like.
Oh yeah, gotta go up and down the coast. Like
Yeah.
Nova Scotia is all about the coast.
So want to go back. It was lovely. It was wonderful. And then I got Canadian COVID.
Got Canadian COVID. Was it more
Honestly,
polite
though,
than the previous COVID?
it was actually. It was. It wasn't as bad as the first time around. And I had something else to say, and it just left my head. Oh, I felt like the universe was like, you need to sit your ass down. And that was the only way it could make
You
me
know,
stop.
I when I found out you had COVID, I went, this is kind of a double-edged sword, 'cause one, it makes sure Tori can stay here, but two, I can't hang out with her
Yeah.
because she has COVID.
Just here rotting away in my living room. Couch
Yep.
Chronicles.
Oh gosh. Well, you had lots of friends looking
I
out for you and bringing you
did. People
items.
brought me so many treats, so much soup, so much food.
I was watching and I'm like, oh, if I had money, Dory, if I had money, you'd be getting like a whole pie or something.
I was really nervous to be scared on my own, and I was so well taken care of and didn't feel alone at all the whole time. So that
Of
was,
course, yeah.
I got the best people in my life.
I'm also thankful because now I have people to hang out with that friends have a Friendsgiving with.
Oh, lovely.
I'm making pies.
Oh, what kind of pies?
Brown sugar
Brown
pies.
sugar.
And it's like a
Ooh.
sweet custard pie that you gotta.
Oh, that sounds glorious.
Yeah.
Hell
That's
yeah.
gonna be what I'm up to tomorrow. I'm gonna be in pie mode.
Excellent. I can't wait to hear how it goes.
So yeah. I think that's it for me. Again, until I'm employed, very little
Let's
will be happening.
get into it.
Let's hop right in 3, 2, 1. Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of The Silly Marillion. As always, I am your host, standing upon the walls of Helm's Deep, and standing beside me is my comrade in arms, Tori. Tori, welcome to the show.
Hey, Paul, thanks for having me. I think I've killed 29 with my axe. How are you doing?
Oh, you've beaten me. I'm only at 27, but I'll catch up. Today, as you could probably guess from our little our joke back and forth, we are covering Helm's Deep. If you watch the movies, it is about two-thirds of the movie. It is not that in this book.
Your biggest complaint of
There's
that movie. I've heard this rant so many times.
I and you'll hear it again. Like, they overdid Helm's Deep. They took way too much time with that. And everyone talks about it being an iconic battle when in reality it should not have been. Helm's Deep should have been a side mention. It should have been like, sure, a battle, but it doesn't take that much time.
Yeah, is it really just one chapter?
It's just one chapter.
Oh.
They finish it up in one chapter and then immediately they're riding to Isengard.
I will admit, you might have to do a little extra explaining in this chapter because I read it in my COVID fog, so it's a little blurry.
Especially since they have words like bivouac
Yeah. I'm like,
in.
okay, they're battling. They're battling. They keep mentioning dikes, but not the ones I'm used to.
You keep being like, huh? Oh, it's the mound of dirt, not the attractive lesbian.
Boo, tomato, tomato.
Boo! Boo! False dykes,
It would have been
boo!
better if it was a lesbian.
Where's lesbian Aragorn when you need her? All
God.
right, so picking up where we left off last time, we have Théoden and his troop, along with Gandalf, Aragorn, Legolas, and Gimli, riding out from Edoras to not go to Helm's Deep initially. Their first mission is to go forward and hold the fords of Isen against any orcs or enemies coming from Isengard. because before Theoden's son Theodred died, that's what Theodred was doing. He was holding the fords of Isen.
Rest in peace.
When it comes to defensive positions, that's a good spot, a river line, making them have to cross a river before they have to get to you.
Mm-hmm.
As they are riding, they do rely on Legolas to actually give some scouting reports just by looking.
I think that's hilarious. He's like the telescope.
He really is. He's like the binoculars they have. Like, okay, Legolas, describe to me what you're seeing.
And he always like says it kind of like poetic when he could really just state what he sees.
Yeah, he goes, I can see a darkness. There are shapes moving in it. Great shapes far away upon the bank of the river. But what they are, I cannot tell. It is not a mist or cloud that defeats my eyes. There is a veiling shadow that some power lays upon the land, and it marches slowly downstream. It is as if the twilight under endless trees were flowing downwards from the hills. It's like, okay,
dramatic,
all right,
just tell us
there's like a bunch of enemies coming.
He could have been creepy mist and some shapes.
Yeah, what happened to spooky mist? Just say spooky mist. You don't have to tell me what it's like. Just tell me what it is.
Gotta give the analogies and the metaphors. Similes?
He's an elf. Simile, yeah. Saying the simile, yeah. Shakespeare in Rohan, basically. Just
he would.
On the second day that they've ridden out from Edoras, they run into a weary soldier on a horse who immediately just assumes it's Éomer in charge. And he's like, where's Éomer? You gotta run, okay?
Mm-hmm.
He reports that Erkenbrand, the Lord of the Westfold, was holding the shield wall. They were overcome. All Isengard must be emptied, and Saruman has armed the wild hillmen and herd folk of Dunland beyond the rivers, and these also he loosed upon us. We were overmastered.
No.
He reports that Erkenbrand and his forces have apparently fled to Helm's Deep to seek refuge, and he urges them, hey, go back to Edoras before the wolves of Isengard get here. And that's when Theoden kind of steps forward, and the man is surprised, and Theoden's like, yeah, I know, you were probably expecting me to be back in my chair, not doing shit.
Blinded man, not really doing much. And I love how he was, like, suddenly filled with, like, morale suddenly, that the king was there.
Yeah, just, well, it's the idea of seeing your leader leading the charge.
Mm-hmm.
It gives you, like, hope, mm-hmm. and inspiration, essentially.
So he says to ride to Helm's Deep. Oh, yes. Oh, but first Gandalf is like, hey, I know y'all got comfy with me hanging around, but I gotta go. Peace
out.
Once
again, Gandalf goes, okay, later. It's like,
no explanations. I just gotta go.
If Bilbo was there, he's like, a fucking course. You had to go.
Shadowfax must bear me now on a swift errand. Peace out, Girl Scout. And then they just bolt away. What does that mean? One guard said to Hama. No one knows.
That Gandalf Greyhame has need of haste. Ever he goes and comes unlooked for. Wormtongue, were he here, would not find it hard to explain, said the other. True enough, said Hama, but for myself, I will wait until I see Gandalf again. Maybe you will wait long, said the other.
Truly, this guy really just like fucks off and doesn't say when he'll be back.
He's that friend who like drops off your radar for like
it's
a week.
It's just me.
And that, oh my god. Okay, but you at least tell us where you're
That's
going.
True.
You're at least, you at least tell us, oh, I'm going to be in Canada for work, or I'm going to be, like, visiting people. It's not like you being like, yeet, and just disappearing. And
into
we're
the
like,
spooky
where
mist.
Are you? Into the spooky, not the spooky mist. But, yeah, Gandalf urges Theoden that, because things have changed, he urges Theoden to make for Helm's Deep now. As it's the most fortified and protected location around them that they can flee to at this point.
So what exactly is Helm's Deep? Is it a place?
Okay.
Is it a fort? Is it a mountain? I know it has walls.
Helm's Deep is the landform. So it's this valley that kind of cuts into the mountains. And at the head of this valley is this cave mouth, which leads to the glittering caves inside that. In front of the cave mouth is a... it describes it.
My eyes definitely glazed over on that explanation then. But please repeat it, Paul.
At Helm's Gate, before the mouth of the deep, there was a heel of rock thrust outward by the northern cliff. Thereupon its spur stood high walls of ancient stone, and within them was a lofty tower. Men said that in the far-off days of the glory of Gondor, the Sea Kings had built here this fastness with the hands of giants. The Hornburg it was called, for a trumpet sounded upon the tower, echoed in the deep behind, as if armies long forgotten were issuing to war from caves beneath the hills. A wall, too, the men of old had made from the Hornburg to the southern cliff, barring the entrance to the gorge. Beneath it, by a wide culvert, the deeping stream passed out. About the feet of the Horn Rock it wound, and flowed then in a gully through the midst of a wide green gore, sloping gently down from Helm's Gate to Helm's Dyke.
Not the lesbian.
Thence it fell, not the lesbian. There in the Hornburg at Helm's Gate, thence it fell into the deeping combe and out into the Westfold Vale. So,
yeah, that was a lot of words. I need a visual.
Yeah, so if you look at a picture of Helm's Deep, it's basically you have this big fortress on a rock that spurs out from the mountain, and then this long wall that connects the fortress to the other side of the valley. Okay. If you look up like Helm's Deep map, I think that would be a good look.
Okay, got it. You can get it in Lego?
Yes, I believe you can get a Helm's Deep set.
Nice. Or some kind of pseudo-Lego. I don't know if it's official Lego. Only for $1,400.
I'd sooner get
Rivendell. Okay.
Me too, because Rivendell isn't overplayed. But yeah, this is their kind of defense. It was essentially built opposite to Isengard as like a fortress to watch the southern mountains as opposed to the Misty Mountains where Isengard is.
Okay.
They finally ride up to the dyke, not the lesbian. For those of you unfamiliar with the term, a dyke is basically a wall of earth that has been kind of piled up and become a bit of like a defensive mound. It's not very defensive, but it's like an added defense.
Mm-hmm.
And they ask where Erkenbrand is, and they say, we don't fucking know. It's probably that he's been killed already, and people are flying from their homes and villages in the Westfold to seek shelter here. And they also ask if anyone's seen Gandalf, and they're like, yeah, we've seen a old man on a white horse, but many thought it was just Saruman. They said he went riding away north.
To do what? Who knows? Stay tuned.
Who knows? And finally, they do meet an old man named Gamling, who is in charge of the defense of Helm's Deep while Erkenbrand is away. And they ask him if he has any soldiers at his disposal. And he says, maybe. We have 1,000 fit to fight on foot, but most of them have seen too many winters, as I have, or too few, as my son's son here. What news of Erkenbrand? And they tell him, okay, he might be dead. And Gamling's like, well, fuck, we better
really bringing good news over here in the middle of this war.
Yeah. And looking behind, they notice that the orcs are now burning villages and houses behind them. And they're basically, they're walled in now. They have to make their stand at Helm's Deep.
Mm-hmm.
They start making themselves at home in the deep. Again, there's just more description of what the deep looks like, how high the walls are, and I'm like, I can't picture that.
Looking up pictures really did help. Should have did that before.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
And then they just kind of like get ready for battle, right? Is this when they finally post
up?
And
then it's just a waiting game as they wait for their enemies to come to them.
God, can you imagine just waiting?
I'd be anxious as hell.
Already anxious, like, knowing there's a doctor's appointment coming up where you have to get, like, a shot or blood test, let alone war.
It's amusing in that we get anxious about, like, social issues, like going to the doctors or the dentist or doing something as an, like, doing an adult thing will just make you, like, going to the DMV. I get so anxious going to the DMV because I just know they're going to yell at me. But imagine you got to go to the DMV and they might kill you. There's a little difference.
That's
granted,
fine.
Like,
it's fine.
these are hardened warriors who are used to this sort of thing. So that's why Gimli and Legolas are actually able to kind of strike up a conversation beforehand.
And it's very cute. Gimli stood leaning against the breastwork upon the wall. Legolas sat above on the parapet, fingering his bow and peering out into the gloom.
"This is more to my liking,"
said the dwarf, stamping on the stones.
"Ever my heart rises as we draw near the mountains. There is good rock here. This country has tough bones. I felt them in my feet as we came up from the dike. Give me a year and 100 of my kin, and I would make this a place that armies would break upon like water."
"I do not doubt it," said Legolas. "But you are a dwarf, and dwarves are strange folk. I do not like this place, and I shall like it no more by the light of day. But you comfort me, Gimli, and I am glad to have you standing nigh with your stout legs and your hard axe. I wish there were more of your kin among us, but even more would I give for 100 good archers of Mirkwood. We shall need them. The Rohirrim have good bowmen after their fashion, but there are too few here, too few."
"It is dark for archery,"
said Gimli.
"Indeed, it is time for sleep. Sleep! I feel the need of it, as never I thought any dwarf could. Riding is tiring work, yet my axe is restless in my hand. Give me a row of orc necks and room to swing, and all weariness will fall from me."
I'm, like, excited for Gimli to be able to chop some necks.
Yeah, actually do shit.
He's been talking about it for, like, a book and a half.
It's like, oh, let me at him. And now we can finally let him at him.
Now we can finally let him at him.
The enemy arrives. Suddenly from the dike, yells and screams and the fierce battle cries of men broke out. Flaming brands appeared over the brink and clustered thickly at the breach. Then they scattered and vanished. Men came galloping back over the field and up the ramp to the gate of the Hornburg. The rear guard of the Westfolders had been driven in. "The enemy is at hand," they said. "We loosed every arrow that we had and filled the dike with orcs, but it will not halt them long. Already they are scaling the bank at many points, thick as marching ants, but we have taught them not to carry torches."
Battle has begun.
And it is actually a very kind of... I will say, the beginning of Helm's Deep in the movie, they get very well because a storm begins.
Of course.
For a staring moment, the watchers on the walls saw all the space between them and the dike lit with white light. It was boiling and crawling with black shapes, some squat and broad, some tall and grim, with high helms and sable shields. Hundreds and hundreds more were pouring over the dike and through the breach. The dark tide flowed up to the walls from cliff to cliff. Thunder rolled in the valley. Rain came lashing down.
Spooky. That's some good war weather right there.
Yeah. Not only are you fighting for your life, it's raining while you're doing it.
Yay.
How nice.
Now you're oh so wet. Enemy surges forward. Arrows met them. There seems to be kind of like an ebb and flow of like conflict. Then there's
a break. They push forward and attack. They get driven back and then push forward again. Almost like the ocean, like waves coming in and then falling back and then coming back again. They talk about how like the orcs are mixed with the men of Dunland, and they come racing up and they drive at the gates with a battering ram. Aelmer and Aragorn notice this, and they're like, okay, well, we can't let them keep trying to break down the wall. We have to put an end to that. So they sneak through a postern gate, which is a small hidden gate on the side of the keep, and follow like a narrow path to where the great gate is, and then they both leap and attack, and they cry out their swords' names as they push forward and start slaying orcs left and right.
And pretty badass, if I do say so myself.
Yeah. As they are slaying a lot of orcs, they think they've killed like a lot. And so as they turn back to go back inside, some of the orcs jump up to attack them. But just then, a small figure jumps out and kills the orcs, and the rest flee, and it's Gimli.
I love his
explanation of where he is, because Éomer goes, "I thank you, Gimli, son of Glóin. I did not know you were with us in the sortie. How came you here? I followed you to shake off sleep, said Gimli, but I looked on the hillmen and they seemed over-large for me, so I sat beside a stone to see your sword play.
Cute. I like how they're just battling and he calls it sword play. Like, oh, they're pretty good, yeah. Just like watching them fight to the death.
Yeah, well, he's keeping it light. He's keeping it entertaining.
Yeah, gotta keep the spirits up. And then Gimli says to Legolas,
Two,
I have done better, though now I must grope for spent arrows, all mine are gone. Yet I make my tale 20 at the least, but that is only a few leaves in a forest.
Man, he's really outdoing Gimli with this, isn't he?
2 to 20. Keep score, folks. More battle.
Yep, more battle. This might be a pretty short episode, if I'm being honest.
Gimli cries, Khazad. Khazad?
Khazad.
Khazad? I've never heard it without Khazad Doom at the end.
Yeah, Khazad means dwarves.
Ah.
The full battle cry is Baruch Khazad Aimenu, which means axes of dwarves, the dwarves are upon you.
Oh, love that. Khazad Aimenu. And then Gimli gets 21. He goes from 2 to 21.
Mm-hmm. And they, again, keep fighting. The orcs start trying to like put ladders up against the deeping wall and climb over the wall, and they're being pushed back. But finally, the wall is blown open. There was a crash and a flash of flame and smoke. The waters of the deeping stream poured out hissing and foaming. They were choked no longer. A gaping hole was blasted in the wall. A host of dark shapes poured in. And the orcs had lit the fire of Orthanc under the wall and blown it up.
What's the fire of Orthanc? What is Orthanc?
The Orthanc is the tower in Isengard. Isengard is the fortress itself, the whole fortress, and the tower in the middle of it is called Orthanc.
Okay. Gosh, everything has a name here. Or three.
Everything. Well, it is... Did you learn nothing when we went through...
Nothing.
The Silmarillion, Jimmy, and everyone had, like, so many names.
He doesn't give names to anything. No one has a name. My sword needs a name, actually, thinking about it. Going to have to circle back to that.
Yeah. Ooh. Name it something like star. It's got to have like a star theme to it.
Oh, of course. We'll report back.
All right. I'll help you make the Elvish translation.
Yes, please.
So, essentially, with the wall blown open, the forces are separated. You have the forces in the Hornburg holding out in the fortress itself. And then you have those, like Éomer and Gimli, who basically get pushed away from the Hornburg and are forced back into the caves at the end of the valley. And they have to kind of hold out there. I do love this part where he meets up with Legolas, and Legolas immediately goes, "Where is Gimli?" And
so
he goes,
cute.
"I do not know. Last I saw him fighting on the ground behind the wall, but the enemy swept us apart. Alas, that is evil news," said Legolas.
He's so concerned about his short boyfriend.
And they go, "Well, he's probably escaped to the caves. There he would be safe for a while. Safer than we. Such a refuge would be to the liking of a dwarf." "That must be my hope," said Legolas. "But I wish he had come this way. I desire to tell Master Gimli that my tale is now 39.
39! God damn. And Aragorn is like, if he's in the caves, he might pass your count.
Yeah, he's like, you might actually get like some bonuses by being in those caves.
I really love this running joke in the midst of battle. Nice little friendly.
A little contest between them. They come back and basically inform Théoden of what has happened and that they must hold out here. They let him know that Éomer is in the caves.
Oh, then he says, "The end will not be long," said the king, "but I will not end here, taken like an old badger in a trap. Snowmane and Hasselfell and the horses of my guard are in the inner court. When dawn comes, I will bid men sound Helm's horn, and I will ride forth. Will you ride with me then, son of Arathorn? Maybe we shall cleave a road, or make such an end as will be worth a song, if any be left to sing of us hereafter." I love, as a music nerd, I love the comparison of... like, maybe we'll be worth a song if we have anything to sing about.
Well, poetry. Also bear in mind, the Rohirrim don't have books. Just they only have the songs of their ancestors.
Mystery through song.
So maybe that's the only way we'll be remembered, is in the songs of my people, if we make a valiant stand here.
Yeah. We get some orc talk. The orcs are kind of like jeering at Aragorn, and he's just having a conversation with them.
Yeah, they start, because it's nearing daylight, and it's when Gandalf said he would return. And so before, like, they all ride out, Aragorn goes above the gates and looks out, and the orcs yell, "Come down, come down! If you wish to speak to us, come down! Bring out your king! We are the fighting Uruk-hai! We will fetch him from his hole if he does not come! Bring out your skulking king!" "The king stays or comes at his own will," said Aragorn. "Then what are you doing here?" they answered. "Why do you look out? Do you wish to see the greatness of our army? We are the fighting Uruk-hai." They really love saying who they are.
I know. In case you forgot, 2 seconds ago.
"I looked out to see the dawn," said Aragorn. "What of the dawn?" they jeered. "We are the Uruk-hai."
Every time the Uruk-hai say who they are.
It is, try not to say who you are, challenge. Like, "We come to kill by sun or moon. What of the dawn? None knows what the new day shall bring him," said Aragorn. "Get you gone, ere it turn to your evil." Get down, or we will shoot you from the wall," they cried. "This is no parley. You have nothing to say." "I still have this to say," said Aragorn. "No enemy has yet taken the Hornburg. Depart, or not one of you will be spared. Not one of you will be left alive to take back tidings to the north. You do not know your peril." So great a power and royalty was revealed in Aragorn as he stood there, alone above the ruined gates before the hosts of his enemies, that many of the wild men paused and looked back over their shoulders to the valley, and some looked up doubtfully at the sky. But the orcs laughed, and with loud voices, and a hail of darts and arrows whistled over the wall as Aragorn leapt down. And then they blow up the gate and charge in, and that's when this great, magnificent charge that Théoden talked about is put underway.
King Théoden rode from Helm's Gate and clove his path to the Great Dyke. There the company halted. Light grew bright about them. Shafts of the sun flared above the eastern hills and glimmered on their spears. But they sat silent on the horses, and they gazed down upon the deepening gloom. The land had changed. Where before the green dale had lain, its grassy slopes lapping the ever-mounting hills, there now a forest loomed. Great trees, bare and silent, stood rank on rank, with tangled bough and hoary head, their twisted roots were buried in the long green grass. Darkness was under them. In the dyke and the eaves of that nameless wood, only 2 open furlongs lay. There now cowered the proud hosts of Saruman, in terror of the king and in terror of the trees. They streamed down from Helm's Gate until all above the dyke was empty of them, but below if they were packed like swarming flies. Vainly they crawled and clambered about the walls of the combs, seeking to escape. Upon the east too sheer and stony was the valley side, upon the left from the west their final doom approached. There suddenly upon a ridge appeared a rider, clad in white, shining in the rising sun. Over the low hills the horns were sounding. Behind him, hastening down the long slopes, were 1,000 men on foot. Their swords were in their hands. Amid them strode a man, tall and strong. His shield was red. As he came to the valley's brink, he set to his lips a great black horn and blew a ringing blast.
"Erkenbrand!"
the rider shouted.
"Erkenbrand! Behold the white rider!"
cried Aragorn.
"Gandalf has come again!"
"Mithrandir! Mithrandir!"
said Legolas.
"This is wizardry indeed! Come, I would look on this forest ere the spell changes."
The hosts of Isengard roared, swaying this way and that, turning from fear to fear. Again the horn sounded from the tower. Down through the breach of the dyke charged the king's company. Down from the hills leaped Erkenbrand, lord of Westfold. Down leaped Shadowfax, like a deer that runs sure-footed in the mountains. The right rider was upon them, and the terror of his coming filled the enemy with madness. The wild men fell on their faces before him. The orcs reeled and screamed and cast aside both sword and spear. Like a black smoke driven by a mounting wind, they fled. Wailing, they passed under the waiting shadow of the trees, and from that shadow none ever came again. Scene.
Won by trees.
Gandalf loves to be dramatic, too.
He loves having his dramatic charges.
The party doesn't start till Gandalf walks in.
Like, oh, hello. I've brought your doom.
With the person you thought to be dead and 1,000 soldiers.
And a tree army in the background.
Don't mind them, or maybe mind them.
Just don't go. And in the next chapter, they talk about, actually, don't go in those trees.
Good battle.
And that's the chapter. That's our short and sweet chapter. I mean, there's not really anything profound to say about this chapter. It's a battle. It's a last stand. There's a lot of descriptions about where people are, where the fighting is going. It almost reads like a history book regarding where, like, things are situated, which makes sense, because Tolkien actually liked military histories like that. Like, in a bunch of his unpublished stuff originally, he, like, would... Like, he describes the battle of where Isildur lost the ring and it fell into the River Anduin. He describes that in detail, what the formations were, what the terrain was like. And yeah, that's kind of that for this chapter. Of course, you get the more human elements. You get the themes of despair versus... Okay, well, there are multiple themes here. So there's the theme of despair, and then you have the theme of despairing but still riding out anyway, which is what Theoden does. Theoden is he's done with hiding, he's done with cowering, he's ready to fight, and he's kind of ready to fight and die.
Yeah.
Because he's kind of realized, because he's been kind of very complacent, because he wasn't entirely under the spell of Wormtongue, he was just listening to Wormtongue. He was consciously taking Wormtongue's advice and using it.
Yeah.
And now he's kind of like, I led my people to ruin. I need to die. I'm not a good king. I hope
it's a little sacrificial.
I hope that I can, like, regain some of my honor by dying in glorious battle like my forefathers would. And so that's kind of what is pushing him to throw his life on the line like this.
And it really helps with the morale of the group.
It does. It does help with the morale. King. Yeah, the Rohirrim are very reverent toward their king. And they, like... even though he's not been doing much to help them, they still revere him. They still give him this deferential respect because that's their culture. And to see him ride out kind of gives them hope. And Aragorn has been giving a decent amount of hopeful counsel to the king, where he's like, all is not lost. Éomer and Gimli are probably still alive. They're fighting in the caves. We can hold out here. And when Theoden goes, well, I'm going to go out and fight and probably die, Aragorn basically says, well, you won't be alone when you do it. Yeah. I'll ride with you.
And spoiler alert, they don't die yet.
Yes. And their trust in Gandalf pays out. And he arrives with Erkenbrand and his marshaled warriors.
We have a battle. Yeah. I feel like this is the first battle description where it's actually talked about. There's been some action, but actual battle war scene. That's not just Bilbo or Frodo passing out in a bush and waking up.
Yeah, we actually get to see a proper battle take place.
There are stakes.
And also,
there are stakes in the story.
Yeah, there are stakes. And you also get to see kind of like the interactions with people in battle. Mm-hmm. With the kind of friendship Legolas and Gimli already have, and the budding friendship between Éomer and Gimli.
Yeah.
With Gimli and Éomer being on much nicer grounds than they were like 2 days ago when they first met.
Yeah. That's it.
Yeah, it really is.
That's all, folks. Thanks for battling with us.
this is probably one of our shortest episodes, but there's not much really to say. A lot of it is just descriptions of battle. I am trying to be a bit more... I've been trying to analyze things a bit more having this podcast not just be us, like, reading, like, describing what happens mm-hmm. in the chapter, because most people have read Lord of the Rings by now, but also to kind of dive more into the themes, the kind of the evoking language of it all, trying to kind of delve into the deeper meanings that might be behind some of the word choices. So very look English. For that new Paul,
very English teacher of you, Professor yeah. Paul.
Well, I don't want this just to be a review show, because people have already reviewed yeah. it, and
I feel like yeah. it's good lore recap, though, because you have like me coming in who's never read it before to be like, what is, I already forgot the name of it, but the name of the tower, actual tower in Isengard. You could do a little lore recap of that, or like what really is Helm's Deep look like? What is Edoras? Yeah. The kind of
just
stuff
helping people describe it. Yeah,
yeah, with all that lore you fit in your big brain.
Got to use it somehow.
Happy Thanksgiving, listeners. Grateful for you.
Yes.
Spotify Wrapped is coming up, which is like my favorite time of the year, because then people, like real people
are gonna
show that they listen to us.
People are gonna realize just how bad my taste in music is.
But if we end up on your Wrapped, because I think it comes out next weekend or slash
next week already,
upcoming weekend by the time you listen to this, tag us, because I love seeing it. I love like seeing there are real people behind the listener numbers. And yeah, just thanks for listening. Grateful for y'all.
And you know what? Special Thanksgiving to Wool, our artist who did our cover art, to Jack Hook for our composing of our intro and outro music. And special thanks, as always, to our folks over on the Patreon. If you would like to contribute to the podcast, you know what to do. Just go to Patreon, The Silly Marillion. Is it The Silly Marillion?
Yes,
it is. It's The Silly Marillion. And you can help us out there. $5 tier gets you a bonus podcast episode where we're just shooting the breeze. It's just, if you're like, I want to hear more about just Tori and Paul talking nonsense, that's, we got that for you, bro.
So we got it for
and
you, bro.
$10 tier is us watching a movie and reacting to a movie. I believe it's Debs this month.
Yeah,
that we're reacting to.
Yes.
Yes, Debs. So if you'd like, join us then. We stream it on our Discord, and you can join us there. Or if you can't make the recording, you can listen to the recording and match it up with your own movie. Mm-hmm, and yeah.
That's all.
So. Thanks, everyone, and thanks for listening to our shit.
Da-da-da.
Da-da-da.
I'm gonna go take a nap.